If you'd like to read along, we'll be starting in verse 1 of chapter 16. It says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died." That's a mouthful, right? There's a sermon right there in just verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of his nephews, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron. Why did they die? They offered profane fire. Now, we don't know exactly what about the fire was unacceptable to God. We don't know. Bottom line is, it wasn't what God prescribed. Maybe it was offered, maybe it was offered in the wrong way. Because if you go back to Leviticus 10, after this event had taken place, I don't know if it's related or an additional teaching of God to Moses. It starts talking about reminding, don't take drink. Don't be drinking and going and doing your service. I don't know if it was a condition that Nadab and Abihu had. Maybe they did the right incense. But maybe they were drunk. Maybe they had the wrong heart. Maybe they did the wrong fire. It was spelled out by God. Bottom line, it was not accepted by God. And it was so important to those religious people in the world that have that teaching. All you have to do is have the right heart and it's acceptable to God. They died. They offered profane fire. And they were killed on the spot. God don't mess with that. And it goes right into the second verse. "And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, your brother, not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat." This is right after the death of two of Aaron's sons. God is telling Moses, you tell Aaron, blah, 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 in his service. God's still expecting Moses to serve, Aaron to serve. In spite of... There's some things that we don't see in the scriptures. We don't see Aaron giving excuses why he can't serve. Nobody would expect me to, you know, to have to serve after the loss of my sons. Nobody, you know, you would understand if I took some time off. No one, you know, people would understand that. Aaron still served. Why did God do this to me? We don't see that. We don't see exactly why they were killed. We don't know if it was them. How much of it was on Aaron? Maybe I didn't emphasize to my sons deeply enough of how they should have served God. Is any of this on my shoulders? We don't know. God still expected Aaron to serve. Verse 3, "Thus Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood of a young bull as a sin offering, and of a ram as a burnt offering. I love listening to the men as they give their comments about the Lord's Supper. Dick this morning, Tracy tonight, about the sacrifice. There's always, you can almost bank on it, words such as sacrifice, blood, humbleness, sacrifice. Your emphasis this evening about the forgiveness of sin. I think of that. Thus Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood of a young bull as a sin offering, and of a ram as a burnt offering. He shall put the holy linen tunic and the linen trousers on his body. He shall be girded with a linen sash, and with the linen turban he shall be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore, he shall wash his body in water and put them on. Aaron, and then later on, any of the priests, had to present themselves holy for the people. They had to present themselves holy to God. Aaron didn't take this nonchalantly. These are not only holy garments, he had to present himself clean. The term here was put on. How many times do we use that in our worship today? Romans 13:14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. God told Moses to tell Aaron, you put on these holy garments to approach me for the sake of the people. You cleanse yourself to approach God. Told him to wash his body. 1 Peter 1:16, the Apostle Peter wrote, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 2:8, for the men to lift up holy hands in prayer. We cannot approach God, whether it's in prayer, whether it's in the service of a worship. We have to present ourselves first as clean and holy, not nonchalantly. You men that are here tonight, I know your hearts, and I know you do that. You don't take this when you come up to offer the Lord's Supper or to offer a prayer. You don't do it with a flippant attitude. You take what you're doing seriously. God is telling Moses to tell Aaron, you take it seriously. You cleanse yourself. Before you come before me, you cleanse yourself. You put on these holy garments that was prescribed on what they should be. Verse 5. And he shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats. I'm so glad it said of the goats, because every congregation I've been in, they're, you know, can I choose the kids that go, you know, can I choose the kids that they take? No, two kids of the goats. And as a sin offering, and one ram as a burnt offering. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats. Okay, I want to pause here for just a second. Think of Jesus. There's two goats involved here, two sacrifices. Jesus was not only the blood sacrifice, he was also the scapegoat. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoats, for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it and to let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bull as the sin offering, which is for himself. Then he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, with his hands full of sweet incense, beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil. And he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he die. He shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east side. And before the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. How often do we as Christians, whether it be a sermon, a prayer, the Lord's Supper, talk about blood? In Bible class this morning, we had a lady that was raised as a Jew asking some questions, which was great. How much more do we understand about sin and sacrifice by studying the Old Testament? We're not under the old law anymore. We're not bound, but I think it was, as Stacy brought up in Galatians, the law was as a tutor for us to understand. Understanding the Old Testament and the Jewish way of things shed so much more light. Not that you have to know that. You can be a Gentile and know nothing of the Jewish way. But look at how much light it sheds on the things we understand about blood. In Hebrews 9:22, it says, "And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." We look at Passover. We look at, in Revelation 1:5, it says, "And from Jesus, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood." The paradox there. Washing something clean with blood. Blood is one of the most staining agents there is. I've told you before, my mom and grandma were masters of getting stains out. Grass stains, you know, spilled food or whatever. But when I'd come in with blood all over me, I was just like, oh, here's a chore. Trying to get blood out. Ask criminals. Watch those, you know, I know you like those murder mysteries. You know, you watch those. You can wipe and clean and scrub all you want. It's hard to get the blood up. Using blood to cleanse something. And that's what Aaron was told to do. For the forgiveness of, for the atonement, you sprinkle blood. Verse 15. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people. Bring its blood inside the veil. Do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. So he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions, for all their sins. And so he shall do for the tabernacle of meeting, which remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness. There shall be no man in the tabernacle of meeting when he goes in to make atonement in the holy place, until he comes out, that he may make atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the assembly of Israel. And he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it. And he shall take some of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat and put it on the horns of the altar all around. Then he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger 7 times. It's interesting how many times 7 is used in Scripture. You know, Naaman had to go wash in the Jordan 7 times. Wasn't the number 7? It's because God said so. He could have used any number he wanted. There may be a reason for the 7. The key to us is to do it 7 times. Just as, you know, if Aaron would have done it 6, if he'd have done it, well, I think maybe if 7 is good, I'll do it 8. He's probably lucky he didn't, because he lived to tell about it. Verse 20, and when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place, the tabernacle of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat. Remember the 2 different goats? Jesus was both. He was the blood sacrifice, and he was that scapegoat that the curses of Israel would be placed upon. It's talked about in Galatians 3:13 about how he was cursed and sent outside the camp. Where was Jesus? Where was Jesus crucified? In the middle of the city? Outside of the city. Just like the Old Testament scripture reads. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat. And he shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. There were other people involved in this event, in this activity, other than Aaron. Not that I'm comparing myself to Aaron or anything like that. There's more to a worship service than the preacher. A lot more. It says, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. What exactly does suitable mean? Acceptable. Somebody that can be presented to God. Reliable. We need you to take this scapegoat out of the camp into the wilderness. Where is he? Then you find, well, I just couldn't make it. Had things come up. I'm glad I'm not God. Because God has more mercy, God has more patience than I do, even on myself. That suitable man doesn't have excuses. Oh, we had a family. The words, we had a family thing. I love my family. God comes before my family. By the hand of a suitable man. There's so many other people that participate in this other than the priest. Men, take pride in that. And I know every man that's here does. It's important. Don't shirk duties, however big or however small. If you were the man, the suitable man that was responsible for taking that goat out, after Aaron had done that, take pride in that. Verse 22, the goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to an uninhabited land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. Then Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of meeting, shall take off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. He shall wash his body with water in a holy place, put on his garments, come out and offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people, and make atonement for himself and for the people. The fat of the sin offering he shall burn on the altar. And he who released the goat as the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water. And afterward he may come into the camp. The bull of the sin for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall be carried outside the camp, and they shall burn in the fire their skins, their flesh, and their offal. I'd never heard the term before, offal, offal. Looked it up, and it's just the extra, you know, the guts, the all the other pieces and parts. Shall burn it with fire. Verse 28, then he who burns them shall wash it. He who burns them. There's another person involved. Then he who burns them shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterward he may come into the camp. The men that took part in this had to present themselves as holy, present themselves to God in the service of not only themselves, but for the rest of the people. An unbelievable responsibility. Verse 29, this shall be a statute forever to you. In the seventh month, on the 10th day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all. whether a native to your own country or a stranger who dwells among you. For on that day the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It is a Sabbath of solemn rest for you. You shall afflict your souls. It is a statute forever. And the priest who is anointed and consecrated to minister as priest in his father's place shall make atonement and put on the linen clothes, the holy garments. Then he shall make atonement for the holy sanctuary. And he shall make atonement for the tabernacle of meeting and for the altar. And he shall make atonement for the priest and for all the people of the assembly. Unless something else comes along that he can't make it. Unless something... I had a family thing, God. Works. I'm up to here in work. It's too cold. It's too hot. It's Aunt Glenda from Ohio came to town. Something. Verse 34. This shall be an everlasting statute for you to make atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses. Once a year. They had to do this. Oh, can we do it next week? This is a bad week for us. We're going to be out of town. You do it that week on the seventh month of the 10th day. You know ahead of time when it's going to be. Once a year. Romans 6:10. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Same thing is mentioned in Hebrews 7:27, Hebrews 9:12. Did it once a year, one time for all. Not once a year, once for all. Hebrews 10:12, it says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Not once every year, once. And it ended up, after giving those commands, this is a man that had lost two sons because they offered the wrong fire. And it ends and it says, and he did as the Lord commanded Moses. Says a lot for Aaron. I've seen people lose their faith over losing loved ones, having calamity in their life, facing hardship, turmoil, financial aid, or financial hardship, health issues. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses. Blessings yours. Everybody here is a baptized believer. There may be some people watching on the live stream that haven't put your Lord on in baptism. Remember those verses that were to put on Christ in baptism. If you have sins, cast those off. Repent of your sins. If you need prayers, if there's anything we can do for you, encouragement, prayers, if you need to repent to God for sin in your life, please do so. Think of those things. Take this lesson. You might want to, it'll take you 7 to 10 minutes to read again. Maybe this week, read Leviticus 16 again. And because we kind of covered it fast. like I said, there's a lot of meat in there. Don, what's the song?
466.
Let's turn to 466 and let's stand and sing. If you need to respond to the invitation, please do so while Don leads us.